Our Old Testament lesson this morning was from the prophet Jeremiah. Over the centuries, the connotation of the word prophet has changed considerably. When we use the term prophecy in everyday conversation, we think about predictions for the future. But the prophets of ancient Israel were preachers. Preachers who were inspired to proclaim God's message to the people. They brought messages of challenge and hope, promises of God's salvation and God's judgment. Today's passage in Jeremiah contains both warning and promise. Don't trust in lies, he preaches. You deceive yourselves by saying repeatedly, "This is the Lord's temple. God lives with us. We are God's favored people." Instead, Jeremiah preaches that God will dwell with Israel only if they improve their conduct. Like ancient Israel, consciously or unconsciously, we tend to think of ourselves and our nation as especially favored by God. A Christian nation, some say. And we picture ourselves as a righteous people, a righteous example to the rest of the world. But Jeremiah cautions us against easy assumptions and challenges us to examine ourselves. And the issues listed for examination include justice, care for the powerless, and treatment of the immigrant. This morning, we will consider God's challenge to us with regard to strangers. It's important to do this because there is much heated debate in the land about immigrants, refugees, and aliens. You might say that some of what I will bring to you this morning is a message from Wednesday night. The Wednesday night adult Bible class spent several weeks some time back studying the current situation, studying it in the light of Scripture. As an aside, I need to point out to you that it is very rare and also very valuable to have a congregation that has an adult education class that seeks to hear God's message, that doesn't shy away from difficult issues and hard challenges. Now, there's an amazing amount of scripture that deals with today's topic. There are over 40 passages that speak God's word on this issue. You'll notice that the terms immigrant, alien, and stranger are used interchangeably, and that's because the original Hebrew word can be translated as any of the three. We've already heard Jeremiah's warning not to take advantage of the immigrant. Jeremiah repeats that warning again in chapter 22, and we find the same commandment not to oppress the immigrant in Exodus chapter 22. But it's not just a matter of refraining from mistreating sojourners. We're told to go further and to have compassion for them. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22, we read, "When you reap the harvest on your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the alien." Now note what is not said here. The rule isn't just for people who have large amounts of land. It doesn't only apply when there's a bountiful crop. It isn't a matter of convenience. It's a command to show compassion. Compassion for the stranger is also commanded in Deuteronomy 26, in Leviticus, and in Zechariah. The story of Ruth and Naomi in the book of Ruth hinges around the practice of leaving part of the harvest for others. And then Scripture goes on to set a standard that we really, really ignore. We're told in Numbers chapter 15, there shall be one statute for you and for the stranger who sojourns with you. Twice in Leviticus, twice in Exodus, and also in Deuteronomy, we're told that the laws concerning the citizen and the laws concerning the stranger shall be the same law. This demand that we not have separate laws and regulations for strangers seems radical to us. Let me tell you, it seemed even more radical to Israel. The little country of Israel was surrounded by much larger and more powerful countries. They had been slaves to the Egyptians to their south. The Moabites in the southeast had mistreated them. And in the land of Canaan, the Philistines and the Hittites and all the other ites didn't exactly welcome the Hebrews when they arrived from Egypt. And the Assyrians and the Babylonians to the north and northeast invaded and trampled on them. So it was natural for the Israelites to fear and resist strangers, immigrants and sojourners. Anyone who wasn't a Jew could be seen as a threat. And what's more, they could also be seen as inferior. When you're part of God's chosen, then it's easy for you to assume that others aren't favored or loved by God. But you know, God isn't who we always expect God to be. We know that Genesis 1:27 tells us God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them, male and female. God created them. But what did we do? It took us centuries for us to figure out, for it to dawn on us, that women were created in God's image too. You see, we're so quick to read Scripture through our own cultural filters, and we can overlook God's message when it is plainly there. We still tend to read this passage as a personal thing, as an individual thing, propping up our sense of worth when we're feeling insecure or down and out. Wait a minute, we tell ourselves, I'm made in God's image. I have inherent value. I'm not a good-for-nothing nobody. I'm made in God's image. But we can fail to see that this business of being made in God's image gives worth to every person. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 12. Welcome strangers into your home. Consider everyone as equal, and don't think that you're better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think you're so smart. Romans 12, verses 13 and 16. Paul's admonition to avoid thinking that we're better than other people is a difficult one. I mean, we concentrate our focus on differences. We differentiate and define ourselves by gender, by appearance, by economic status, by education, by race, by faith, by politics, and on the list goes. So a few years ago, it came as a great shock to many of us when we learned that all humans, every last one of us, have 98% or more of our DNA in common with each other. Strangers, immigrants, refugees, you, me, we're all created in the image of God, and we're biologically more than 98% alike, regardless of whatever differences we happen to notice. The stranger, the alien, is not other than us, is not someone who is very different, very other, very strange. Indeed, they are very like us. They are brother and sister. We expect God to pay particular attention to those who are righteous, those who obey and love God. But Scripture tells us of a God who pays particular attention to those who receive the short end of the stick, those who suffer, those who have less power, those with limited resources. Psalm 146 speaks of God as one who protects immigrants, who helps orphans and widows. Deuteronomy 10, verse 18, says that God enacts justice for orphans and widows, and he loves immigrants. And the Gospels all tell us of how Jesus devoted a lot of time and attention to people who were suffering in various ways. We're called to be complete as our Heavenly Father is complete. We're called to walk in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're called to protect and love the stranger and the immigrant. Pause for a moment and think about some of our most famous ancestors in the faith. Abraham left his home in Ur, was an immigrant in the land of Canaan. Joseph was sold as a slave and taken to Egypt. Jacob and his extended family of 70 were economic refugees who fled their homeland and went to Egypt to escape starvation and death. David fled the violence and death threats of King Saul and was a refugee amongst the Philistines for a while. Moses was a murderer who fled Egypt and was a refugee in the land of Moab. The Hebrew people fled for their lives from Egypt with the world's most powerful army nipping at their heels. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were strangers in Babylon and convicted criminals for not worshiping the local gods. And in Matthew's gospel, as we heard this morning, Joseph took his wife Mary and infant son Jesus and fled to Egypt. They were refugees from the murderous wrath of King Herod. Sisters and brothers, we worship one who was a refugee. My parents told me that my ancestors were Irish and English and Scots and Welsh and German. Apparently I'm a mutt, as are many of us here this morning. Many Scots came because they were driven off the crofts by the landed gentry. Many Irish came because they were starving during a potato famine. Many Chinese came hoping for a way out of poverty. Jews fled for their lives. Vietnamese, Cambodians, and the Hmong people came here to escape torture and death. The Hebrews were commanded in Leviticus 19, verse 34, "The stranger who sojourns with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Love him or her as yourself, for we were strangers in the land of America. This is something that our God feels strongly about. The prophet Malachi proclaimed God's message saying, "I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against those who brush aside the foreigner." Put in more positive terms, Jesus said, "All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. When you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me.'" God's message is emphatic all through the ages. It's repeated over and over again. And in his parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus pointed out that we are all neighbors and reminded us of the command to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love the immigrant, the refugee, the alien as yourself. So what shall we do? In a paper that she wrote a few weeks ago, my niece, Erin Sexton, stated, quote, "The first step is contact." And I thought, well, duh. But you know, so often we overlook what should be obvious, and we need to be reminded. To care for the stranger, there must be contact. That means we must reach out. We must reach out to them. You can't welcome someone who's not present. And this is not an easy challenge. It's far easier to accept those who are part of our culture and our faith. One of my friends in seminary was Margaret Redman, an African-American lady who knew how to turn a phrase. Margaret said, "We're called to welcome those who may not look like us, may not dress like us, might not even smell like us." This is not easy, but it is what God expects of us. Amen.